This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. The Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. You're the girl who makes me feel so good.
righty. Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I'm sitting here, and that was a cutie pie, and I played that for a friend who just had a hip surgery, and so I wanted to, you know, he can get up now and start dancing and moving around and test that new hip replacement. So more power to you, Bob, and get out there and do some more dancing, and it's time to get going. Anyway, I'll thank all of you for joining me, and have a number of topics today. It's hodgepodge, catch-all, scattergory, and the works, and play a little bit of catch-up, and we're going to be talking about some current events and developments with the NAACP and the National Association of Advancement for Colored People, of which I am one, and so are you, and all of us, we are, and this organization historically is very, very helpful and has played a great role in the history of America and the development of America and affording people their rights and what have you, and ups and downs. And but we're going to be talking about that. And
good morning.
Yes, hold on, I'll pat you in shortly. And what we'll do is we'll talk about the current events that and some new development, recent developments. And as you know, in every community, there's certain things that go on, and you have to address them. And basically, as you know, on this show, I try to be as open and as frank, regardless of who it is or what it is. You can't claim to fix something if you will limit yourself as what you will talk about or what you will expose. So I have on the line, who's going to join me this morning, is Marsha Joyner, Mrs. Marsha Joyner. And we're going to be talking about the NAACP and some of the current events and some of the activities that are going on with that occurred with Local 5 and what have you. But Marsha, good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Good morning. Good morning.
So just right out of the hole, let's talk about the recently there was a development with the you brought to a number of people brought it to our attention here that the NAACP had scheduled a party of sort of gala affair, we'll call it, and you can give the name for the official title, at the Hyatt Regency. And as you know, the listeners out there know or may have known about it, there is a boycott and a labor action that is currently taking place against the Hyatt Regency. And so the NAACP had scheduled their party to be there, their gala affair. And so anyway, Marsha, if you could give greater detail, go ahead.
Well, yes, the NAACP, which is the oldest and the first human rights organization in the United States, and I say that because I think that has a lot of meaning to what the rest of this discussion, and they scheduled their annual Martin Luther King dinner at the Hyatt. And this is their second year, as far as I know, maybe third year, of doing that, because they have an ongoing contract with the Hyatt. So they scheduled it, the Martin Luther King event, which is a dinner and an award ceremony and all that kind of stuff, for people who have, the awards go to people who have worked in the community and have done so much for the community. So in the spirit of Martin Luther King, they have this awards dinner. Well, last year, the workers have been boycotting the hotel. In fact, it's a two-year thing that they've been without a contract. And the boycott of the Hyatt is across the country, not just Hawaii, but across the country and Canada. The Hyatt has the worst record of injuries and workload of all the hotel chains. In fact, their injury rate for their employees is 91%, and most of which are women. And, of course, you know what that does. If you've watched the commercials with Donald Trump and he shows you that great big mattress that is are in the hotel, those things weigh 100 pounds. So if you can imagine trying to make up that bed every day, lots of those beds every day, that would really take a toll on you. Mm-hmm. And so they do all kind of things. They hire scabs at night to do at half the pay that they pay the union workers during the day. And they're just not a good place to work.
So this is why they have the labor action. Local 5, when you say the workers, you mean Local 5.
Local 5, yes. And so in June, Local 5, like they did across the country, had a huge demonstration in front of the hotel. And it was in all the newspapers and television and whatnot. And they announced this ongoing boycott. Now, the president of the NAACP, Mr. Bragg, is one of the community leaders that Local 5 contacts and has on their mailing list. And they send out all of the things that are going on to the community leaders. So he's on their regular mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
Now it comes up that they're going to have this event. And the workers, of course, are distressed because they feel betrayed by an organization that is supposed to support ordinary people. In fact, the name of the organization is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored Peoples, with an S. And that's all people of color, not just African-Americans, but all people of color. And it's safe to say that the majority of the Local 5 workers are people of color. So now we have this, people are distressed that the NAACP, with knowing the condition of the workers, would proceed to do this. And so that's when the whole Pilakia started.
Mm-hmm.
When Mr. Bragg, who is the president of the NAACP, was asked about it and asked if he would please move to another hotel or another venue, period, he said no. He was committed to the Hyatt and would not do it. And so it took a huge, and I'm a community effort, huge community effort from the governor on down for people saying, I will not go. I will not cross the picket line. I will not do that because the workers are my friends, my neighbors, my family. We will not do that. And so it was a marvelous coming together of the community of all colors, of all, like I said, from the governor on down, to say to Mr. Bragg, this will not work. We will not come. Even the awardees said, we will not come. Some of the corporations that had bought tables said, we will not come. You cannot have our money if this is the way you are going to act. And so finally, I might add, Local 5, the union Local 5, offered to help them find another hotel where they could go. And there were three hotels, I don't know their names, there were three hotels that offered, said, we have a ballroom for you, we can accommodate you. We are unionized, with our unions are in good shape, we're welcoming you. So finally, I guess it was late Friday night, Mr. Bragg finally accepted going to another hotel, to the Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the last I know of. That's as simply as I can put it, so that everybody understands, mm-hmm. I hope.
Well, a couple things. I want to let the listeners know, and anybody out there that would serve as detractors or naysayers or just angry that we would air something like this. I believe that when an individual act unilaterally on a matter and not including the public, and when you are the beacon of hope as far as employment and civil rights, women's rights, and all of those things, and you take an action or you commit to an action that is contrary to what you stand for, and then when you have it as the Dr. Martin Luther King, and in honoring him and using that name, imagine. I did speak to Mr. Braggs, and I sent him questions. And, again, I want you to hear how this is, it's important, because there are people out there that are every day impacted by acts of racism, sexism, hatred toward religion, and all of that, the bigotry. So we need an organization. If the banner says that this is what we do, we protect the rights of individuals, then you have to have an impeccable attitude. You have to really stand tall, be firm, and set good examples, because if you compromise that, to walk across a boycott or picket line where there is or there are labor actions, it suggests something is wrong there, and it's inexcusable for to say that we didn't know, because it's your business to know. The NAACP's business is to know when there are labor actions. But in this case, you couldn't have missed it because they had major arrests and protests there in the area.
Let me say this for anybody that isn't old enough to know. It was the unions that gave us the weekend. The weekend isn't in the Constitution. It was the unions that gave us the weekend. It was the unions that gave us child labor laws. It was the unions that gave us safe food regulations. It was the unions that paid for the March on Washington and organized it. Mm-hmm. The march that everybody says was Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. Well, that was paid for and organized and moved people across the country to get there. It was the unions that have totally supported, they gave us the middle class. They have totally supported people of all color.
Well, I got a caller here. Let me
see if
you... Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes. Good morning. I'm so glad you're concerned about racism. In case you're not aware, in a little community television lobby, a black man that outweighed a senior citizen by 200 pounds threatened him by telling me he was going to stop him from talking. What do you think of that?
Ooh, say that again. Repeat that.
A black man threatened a senior citizen in the lobby at Olelo Community Television and told him that he was going to stop him from talking.
Well, now, how could that be?
Well, it's a threat.
Hold on now, Marsha, hold on.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm going to hang up and...
No. You don't... No, you got to... Hold on, you there?
No, I don't have to.
Don't go away.
Oh, well, then we'll have no discussion if you can't give specifics.
What do you mean, no discussion?
What I mean is that... This is what I mean. This is what I mean.
Because now I'm saying now maybe you people are racist.
Well, maybe. But you, unless you can prove it, and if you're not willing to participate...
What do you mean participate? I bothered to call you and tell you what the incident is. If you don't believe it...
Can I ask you this?
We're not going to ask you anything.
When did this happen, and what was the outcome?
See, now you want to get into a whole story.
I can't do anything about it.
I'm just saying, all I want is a comment from you people.
I'm asking what I can do, if I can follow through, if you tell me more.
What would
I am
you
a
do?
Producer at Olelo.
What would you do?
I don't know, but I
hold on,
tell me
out.
More.
No,
I can no,
Marsha,
look into it.
Even, I just want to put Marsha, it out there to
out.
The community that, you know,
no, this,
they talk
listen,
about racism.
First of all,
this to me was racism.
He's wrong.
Okay?
You there? Are you there? Anyway, the what happened? But call if you want to call up and give specifics. We deal with specifics and we deal with facts. And if you behave in that fashion, you call the wrong show in the wrong place. It is that simple. We're open to any kind of discussion and to call up and toss out just about anything. And find yourself challenging us or challenging me that you've given us enough to talk. You know, we don't respond to trash. We don't tolerate that. And you're welcome to call back. And if you want to give specifics and details, then we'd be happy. We're always looking for stories on the show. And we'll talk about anything and everything and anybody. So I hope that you call back, but not in that fashion that you did.
Hello.
Yes, somehow we got disconnected here, but we don't take issue with people if they give us specifics and then we deal with
it. And threatening someone, regardless of race or size or anything else, is wrong.
Well, I need
and we can't. I mean, that's just it has nothing to do with racism. It has to do with. It's just wrong.
Well, we need first, as you know, my policy is that we need facts first, and I don't debate and argue with anyone. You give us the facts, and we'll check them out and address it. So, anyway, let's get back on to the subject. And someone else calls up, please refrain from.
I can't hear you.
You can't?
No.
Not now at all?
That's a little better. Okay.
Anyway, but we want to refrain from that. I want to stay on track, and we don't solve anything over the telephone.
Well, I would like to, you know, most people, unless you belong to the unions, don't understand anything or the history. And their history is really the history of Hawaii, mainly the history of the Hawaii. How they broke the Big Five and the plantations. It's a rich history, and it is about the people of Hawaii. So to disregard, blatantly disregard the people and the workers of all kinds, of all colors, of all genders or whatever, that is just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else. There's no fancy way to dress it up. It's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we were fighting about.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman called me and told me that I couldn't do this to the NAACP. And I said, oh, no. I said, if we don't stand up for right, then what's the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King said, if you don't take a stand, you're not worth standing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to take a stand.
Yeah. Well, in this instance, speaking to why should we air dirty laundry, this isn't dirty laundry. If you have the welfare of the people's lives in your hand, when they come to you and trust you as an organization, and this is your pledge to protect them against any forms or acts of racism, discrimination, or what have you, you have to stand up and be not perfect, but beyond perfect, and you must treat everything with confidentiality, and you must get out there and look for these issues and be careful not to send the wrong message. So if you're sitting there, and if there's the one percenters are getting rich, as we all now debate and talk about, and there's a protest, and the little guy, I'll describe it as the little guy, or the union people, or what have you, or the workers seeking their rights, it is just beyond imagination that anybody in the NAACP, and we'll say now, be clear that this is the local, I don't know if we can refer them as a chapter because I checked a while back. I didn't know if they were a chapter. Okay, branch, but whatever they are, but again, it's inexcusable. And there should not be any need for any person to call up the NAACP and say to them,
I think you've made an error in participating or breaking or crossing that line, that picket line or that boycott line or that violating that labor issue. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it is necessary to air out the laundry because many people can be hurt and impacted by either reckless behavior or behavior that you do it out and you knowingly commit these acts by fraternizing or social associating with companies that are not willing to respect the workers' rights or what have you as the issues or the claims are out there.
Well, and I would ask everybody that's listening to really be mindful of the boycott of the Hyatt. And even in their events and having their guests stay there and whatnot, I think that's the only way that these 1%ers, the big people and the people that own the Hyatt are among the richest in the world,
mm-hmm.
that the only way they're going to get the message is if all of us stand up for the boycott, if all of us really consider this, because the workers are our families. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. And unless we, as a community, take a stand, it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the union out there. It's all of us.
Well, we see this behavior, and we speak to it all the time. Quite often we see a certain portion of a community, let's say just a small community, and you'll see a segment working in opposition. They're accomplishing, they're hoping to accomplish the same thing, but they tug at one another, and they do things in conflict. So this is why it is important to bring this out, and those of you that are opposed to this kind of discussion publicly, then I think that you're not being realistic, and I think that if you support this practice and you go to that dinner, and that's the other thing. See, the makeup of the NAACP, it consists of a number of people, first of all, from all walks of life, and a great many of them are well-educated
and professionals,
and they too, so exponentially down the line, they too share burden in this, because to participate and respond, knowing where you're going, and you know, it's something that should be questioned. Okay, if Mr. Braggs felt that, as he told me last night, he has a long-term contract, and he felt compelled to do that and obligated to continue there. That's one thing, and I'm not making excuses for him. I still don't think that's right personally. But it's the other people that know, and these are professionals. Some are attorneys and what have you, business people. They, too, know that there are boycotts. So when you look and stand back and just take a broader view, there's something terribly wrong. And if we are going to speak as a community on behalf of the community, you have to tell it.
We do. We do. And we have to take a stand, whether it's popular or not, whether it's... And this is not comfortable for me. This is not a comfortable position to have to do this. Or the people... And I'm, you know, I'm just the loudmouth who will talk to you on the air. But there were tons of people working behind the scenes to have this event moved. Even big corporations, part of the 1%, said, no, you can't have our money. Or if you're... And they did it early. When I said, no, I would not go,
mm-hmm.
it was several months ago. So this is not just the last week.
Mm-hmm.
People have been working at this to say, no, this is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
People were returning their tickets. People couldn't give away tickets because of the location.
Well, one of the things that troubled me with this was that when, as I said earlier, I sent questions to Mr. Braggs and never got a response. And in speaking to him, he said, well, he's busy with so many questions and I didn't ask for an immediate response. Well, that's okay. But a greater problem is that there are other issues and numerous complaints, and people have come to me and approached me, and that it's really what is occurring seems to be problematic with this organization and the structure of it locally. And so I felt that this is not the straw that broke the camel's back, but simply enough is enough. And if we're going to present ourselves to the public as an organization that is concerned with the interests and the well-being of the working man and people in general, you have to behave in a different fashion. You have to be cognizant of all those things around you that you might end up having to take on. And you should be working in concert with organizations and the unions. Not to say that unions are always right, and I'm not advocating for unions, but in this case, when you call it the Dr. Martin Luther King event, gala affair, and then Dr. Martin Luther King actually died in Memphis while helping the unions and
the
workers and
the striking workers. Yeah.
And so just that alone, to me, it is enough to provoke me to come out and take a megaphone and stand on the corner and discuss this matter, because something's gone haywire here with this organization. It is unacceptable. It's something that, and people donate money, and workers donate money, and then they turn around and don't find the help as if they thought they were getting?
I think also that not only this event, but what this event and the rising up of the community is a bigger picture, and that is all of the hotels now get to see where the community stands mm-hmm. on these issues, and that it is not just how much a person gets paid, it's not just a union, it is the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are some things more important than how much you get paid, and that's the working conditions.
Mm-hmm.
All the hotels got to see this. They were all in on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this raises everything to a larger level. It is not just this one organization and this one dinner. It is at the root of it. You know, it's not good enough just to put a Band-Aid on something or just look at it. If we don't get at the root cause, if we don't really get at the root cause, then this will be in vain.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look at the root causes of this. The dysfunction of the community at large, the one percenters, which are all those hotels. I remember when I worked in Waikiki, we had a business for 27 years in Waikiki. When you knew hotel owners, when you knew everybody, and Waikiki was local. Now you don't know the owners. They're all on the mainland someplace. They're all conglomerates. International, you can go to Mombasa, Kenya, and you have the same hotels, the same rental cars, United Airlines. It's all the same. Nothing is local. And unless local people stand up and say, this is the way our community wants to be treated, then this little survey we had is for naught.
Mm-hmm. Well, what has to happen, in speaking specifically to the climate here in Hawaii, if we have organizations that present themselves as being the watcher and the keeper of the welfare and health of workers and people in general, we can't allow, and there are numerous instances where it seems that this repeats itself, and my call out now is to say to those that are involved in the NAACP, its leaders, that if you're going to present yourself in such a fashion that you are the keepers of these issues and looking for the welfare of the people looking at that, you have to be above all of this, and then when you find yourselves wrong, correct one another. And I don't want to be told that I should not be talking about this on air, because then I'll be encouraged to talk even in greater depth and details of it, because
There are a lot of people gave a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get this far.
Mm-hmm.
And to have it just cast aside because of a few individuals have gotten caught up into something. And I'll take this occasion to, again, invite Mr. Braggs on the show, and he can give his, I won't say side, but give his perspective and give his view and what motivates him to do this and what can he do to prevent this and to assure that this won't repeat itself. The microphone is always open. If you're out there now, Mr. Braggs, you can call in, or if there's other NAACP members, feel free to call in. But I think that it's an assault on our senses and our, you know, feelings about this that you would even consider going and then having to be sold. The other part of this, Marcia, that troubled me is the almost a sense of arm-twisting had to occur. When the local union spoke to me, Local 5 spoke to me, and I asked them, I want to make sure clearly that this was in some, even though Mr. Bragg should know because this is his profession, he's the president of the NAACP local branch. If that is the case, then he should have people out there watching, listening, and monitoring. Apparently that didn't happen. If it did, then it speaks to their willingness to just ignore all of this. But what really is problematic is that they go out and they do this, and Local 5 called me, and I wanted to know from them, have you sent anything to, over the last year or so, specifically to the NAACP? And they share with me a number of things. They have a newsletter. So quite naturally, the NAACP, the people there and the president could not have missed this. And if they even did miss it, I'm sure some of those that were participating and going to go to this dinner while it was being held at that venue, the Hyatt, saw the news that these workers were out protesting and getting arrested and that it was continuing on. So I offer a plea to all of you. If you're going to go and join in at the dinners, then join in the fight.
I think you're absolutely right. You and I come from that fight on the mainland, civil rights movement. And I don't know how many, over the years, how many people that started out with me in the 50s were killed to get these rights. How many times we were all endangered. How many times we all went to jail. How many times we were verbally and physically abused to get this far. And so to see this just went to all of those people in our heart. Oh, no, we didn't do that to come this far.
Yeah. Well, and we all, even the ones that are going to the parties, a great many of them have participated in other places in the civil rights movement, and everyday life is the civil rights movement, believe it or not, because there's always factions, whether it's the Patriot Act or something digging at you or companies wanting to put radio chips and everything to track you, and it's all about civil rights and human rights and what have you, and prisons and what have you. So imagine, if we can't get this right at this level, then what message are we sending to those that would violate our rights totally?
And that's exactly my point of saying this is a bigger picture, so that all of the hotels get to see where the community is about the way they treat their workers.
And even though one of the positive outcomes of this is simply the Hyatt will, in theory, will probably lose money or this resources because I don't really know the relationship. I'm only going on what Mr. Braggs presented, the contract that he indicated that he had. He didn't go into details. And I might add why I'm encouraged to even talk about this in greater length is that even while asking him, why did you change the venue? See, he hadn't openly disclosed that. And that's the other troubling part about this. He refused to state why he changed the venue. So I asked him, and you heard, not conveyed to you and communicated to you what he said, but it was simply, I asked him, aren't you, did you change this because it was contrary to what Dr. Martin Luther King stood for? And he said, no. So I'm still at a loss trying to figure out then what caused him to change the venue.
That baffles me. Would you repeat that? That baffles me.
Yeah. Well, he said when I asked him on numerous occasions, what is it that caused him to change the venue? Was it, you know, was he concerned with, and different fashions, three or four times to ask him that, and yet to state that, yes, it was the fact that we didn't want the appearance, and it was Local 5 and the issues that they brought to our attention, and that it just didn't look right, and it's contrary to what Dr. King. I couldn't get that answer from him. So I don't know if it was just...
You said he said no?
Yeah.
That's what you said?
Yeah.
He told you... No, that wasn't the reason he changed the venue.
Right. Now, I don't know why he didn't, and I was silly in asking, well, was it because of the Denver Pistons or the Detroit Pistons won a certain game or something? I don't know, you know. So, yeah, being facetious with him. But again, I'm at a loss.
Well, I am, too. That really troubled me.
Mm-hmm. But maybe this is the first... notice to him and others, and you cannot present yourself, and I know a great many people donate monies to this organization.
Oh, they do.
And I'm sure, I believe if it was me, and over the years I've been a member and participated with the NAACP, and in the state of Hawaii I've seen a great many of things happen, and so here's why I want to make this public and talk about it openly, because I know firsthand over the years people have gone there and they've had different types of questionable practices with their different leaders. And so I say, to submit this, it will not happen again as long as I can expose it, and this is one of those that's consistent with what has been occurring in the past, you know. So if there's monies, there's dissension, there's troubles, there's issues amongst one another, and there was attempts to overthrow an unseat of Braggs, but when you look at the records, I don't believe that's that open and that's transparent, and I believe an organization such as that should be transparent. And one final point on this is that when you, let's say... that I have experienced what I believe is an act of racism or what have you as an individual in the workplace. Whatever it is, someone has violated my rights. Now, some of you may not find any problem with this, but, and I've shared this with you, Marcia, the issue that I'm seeing now, and it has repeated itself, you call Mr. Braggs, and some of you won't believe that if you were to call him or send an email, it's possible that you'll be sending it to a government address. Like right now, he works for the military, the Navy, security at Pearl Harbor. So unbeknown to me, I sent him an email, just clicking on and typing out an email, forward him the questions, and it's there to the Pearl Harbor Navy base.
Wait a minute. He's working Navy security at Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
That's the most secure place in the world. That's top security.
Right.
And you're sending emails back and forth?
Well, not back and forth, but and then on another occasion. But the point I'm trying to stress here is...
That's wrong.
Well, the point that I'm trying to convey is that as a private citizen who experienced as a worker, there should be a secure line, a line that preserves and protects my confidentiality, because this is a matter that between me and the person that's going to help me legally when I reach out. I don't want to be sending emails relating to my work experience and my civil rights concerns to a government address. And so what that tells me and I spoke to racists with Mr. Bragg, is that you have to be watchful of all of this. So until you do, and his explanation was, I work a full-time job, right? So it can't happen. We can't tolerate that. And so that, those are just two of the things that raises concern. And so those of you out there that might want to
raises another concern for me, just listening to your last comment. Again, back to knowing your history, it was when the NAACP was created 100 years ago, their first fight was with the government about public accommodations. Their fight was against with the government about integrating the military in World War I and II, which they didn't get around to doing until Korea. It was with the government, Brown versus Board of Education, for integrating schools when they said, you know, separate is not equal. It is with the government. So that organization was founded on the principle that the government had, because segregation was legal in the United States. There were, you know, you couldn't get a federal job. The military was segregated. You couldn't ride on interstate commerce unless you were sitting in the back of the bus. You couldn't stay at hotels or motels. And so the fight with the NAACP was with the government. So my question then, based on what you just said, is can a person who works for the government represent the organization that is diametrically opposed to the federal government?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
Just based on what you just said.
Well, anyway, the whole idea behind these issues is when you, as a person seeking assistance, you don't want, that's one of the first issues you want is confidentiality.
Yes.
And your rights should be preserved. And just the fact that you are engaging, I don't care what excuse it is, you should be clear to the people, this is a government phone line. When you leave a message about NAACP matters, that's wrong anyway, but to allow that and encourage that or set it up where just the possibility that this would occur. Hold on. Good morning, Carl. Do you have a comment or question?
Yeah, just one quick question.
Turn your radio down, Ed. Ed, your radio is bleeding.
Am I correct to hear that you said that he is conducting NAACP business on his government computer, isn't that what the case was?
Yeah, but and there are bigger issues, so, you know, you're right.
Yeah, well, it's come out of this that he's doing private business in his office.
Well, yeah.
It's a shape of Patty Curia. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, well.
He is absolutely correct, and it used to be that the NAACP had a dedicated phone line, and you called that phone, dedicated phone, and then someone would call you back. There was no talking to a person at their job because the NAACP does not have paid positions, so you have to assume that all the people work. But they used to have a dedicated line. You called that line. You left your message. You say, I have an issue, blah, 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 blah. This is my name and my telephone number, and then someone would call you back. Mm-hmm. So that your privacy and all was secure. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened to that, I don't know.
Well, anyway, what this is just a tidbit of what goes on, and I invite any of you that want to have objections to this show or my comments, please feel free to contact me, and in doing so, maybe we can develop a better NAACP local branch. And I believe airing dirty laundry is for those that are very shallow thinkers. I believe that when you have people's welfare and their livelihoods and all of that and the well-being of all people in your hands or you influence it, you need to be above reproach.
I think that we can, or already have, as a result of this, begun to build a much stronger community. Because when you look, and now I want to talk about the other events for the holidays, since we only have, what, 5 minutes left?
No, you have about 2 minutes.
Okay. We can build a much stronger community. And so let me tell you about the things that are going on for the Martin Luther King holiday. Mm-hmm. And I am from the Martin Luther King Coalition, which is separate from the NAACP. And we have had no rivalry, so many of our members belong to both organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So on Friday at noon at the Royal Hawaiian Band will play a special concert at the Iolani Palace honoring Queen Liliuokalani and Dr. King. For those of you that may be confused why the Hawaiians are a host culture, number one, and number two, the commemoration of the overthrow and the Martin Luther King holiday always fall at the same time. So we honor both.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Friday noon at the palace. Please join us at Sunday, January 15 at 5:30. There's a candlelight bell ringing ceremony at the Nagasaki Peace Bell, which is the Honolulu Holly Civic Grounds. And if you've never been there, please come. Mm-hmm. It's at Baratania and Lalhalla Streets. If you know where the Board of Water Supply is and the Queen's office buildings, Lalhalla Street is that little street that runs through there. And this is right next to the little valley next to the Kalani Moku building.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, on Monday morning, the 16th, is the Martin Luther King Parade and the Unity Rally at Kapi'olani Park.
Okay.
And then at 6:30, there's a Martin Luther King Day community worship service at St. Elizabeth's Church. And at 7 o'clock, there's the Hawaii Peacemakers Award at Church of the Crossroads. Did I get it all in?
I think you did. So, anyway.
And everything is free and open to the public.
Right. And I hope everyone would go out and join. But I thank you for joining me. And we'll take up this subject. And I'm hoping that others are either angered or what have you or want to participate. And the gentleman that called about being beaten up by a big black man, you know, we don't respond that way. That is what we try to avoid. If you speak to us logically and tell us the circumstances and tell us the name, we'd be happy to. And if it was you, we'll fight for you too. So, but we don't respond to big black men standing in the dark going to beat you up. We don't do that. And so I don't want to make light of it, but if someone did assault you or you
know
someone.
Well, a threat is a threat regardless of its color.
So anyway,
and it needs to be held handled.
But we also
okay,
need to make sure it's back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for the time.
All righty, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
No one,
no one but you
ever kissed me.
No one but you.
The second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
like a dream, not always what you seem. And though my heart may break when I awake, let it be so. I only know, Ruby, it's you. They say, Ruby, you're like a song. You just don't know right from wrong. And in your eyes I see heartaches for me. Right from the start, who stole my heart? Ruby, it's you. I hear your voice, and I must come to you. I have no choice, so what else can I do? Flame into my life you came, and though I should be well, still I just don't care. You thrill me so, I only know, Ruby, it's you. A flame into my life you came, and though I should be well, still I don't care. You thrill me so, I only know.
On K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I wanted to follow up on a previous show. A caller called up and wanted to know, the question was, who appoints the city ethics commissioners, the commission? And it's found under Article 13 of the general provisions of the revised charter of Honolulu. Basically, for all boards and commissions, section 13-103, boards and commission, except as otherwise provided by this chapter or by law, all boards and commissions established by this chapter or by ordinance shall be governed by the following provisions. To be eligible for appointment to a board, commission, or commission, a person shall be a duly registered voter of the city. All members shall be appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the council. And that's basically that, and so you'll know the commissioners are Rachel Long, Dr. Rachel Wong, Stephen Silva, he's and Jeffrey Burroughs, Ph.D., Michael Lilly, Esquire, Charles Tuttle is the executive director, and Laura Wong is the associate legal counsel, and Norman Fisher is the legal clerk. That's for the city ethics commission, and I hope that answers. And as I say, we don't claim to know everything, but we know how to find everything. There's someone out there who will call us and let us know. That's what's nice about this. And just while we're on ethics commissions, the Hawaii State Ethics, you know, the same thing. The commission has 5 members. Members must be selected in a manner which assures their independence and impartiality in accordance with Article 14 of the Hawaii State Constitution. The Judicial Council, a state board attached to the Hawaii Supreme Court, nominates 2 individuals for each vacancy on the commission. The nominees' names are sent to the governor, who selects one of the nominees for appointment to the commission. Senate confirmation is not required. And no, it's not true that Mark Alexander is being considered for the Ethics Commission. So just in case you guys got a little, had heard it wrong, it's not true. Okay. Here is another thing that we talk about the Ethics Commission, and we talked extensively about the Mrs. Teruya, and as you noticed, you saw Mr. Berg, Councilman Berg. There was a discussion whether he had hired or not hired her. And what I want you to know is that I talked at length last week about the Ethics Commission. And some say, wow, I didn't know that. And I just want to lay, not to justify my comments or what have you, but to lay with you some facts that we may have overlooked. And the recent ruling, advisory opinion issued by the Ethics Commission and Tuttle, as he presented, and I thank all of you, a great many of you called me and asked, why on earth did he send that press release out, which is not common practice, he being Tuttle, not a common practice for him to send out and have comment. Usually you have to hunt him down and force upon him something, a comment. But the way that report was written, you would think that that was it, and it went from a couple of months. But I want to remind you, and you've heard about this before, I brought it to your attention, but back in March 31 of 2011, March, and this is responding to a complaint that I had filed on Ms. Teruya. And their response is, dear Mr. Cox, we have completed our inquiry into the matter you raised regarding Patty Teruya's use of her city email relating to City Council Resolution Number 10-114 regarding Nanakuli Regional Park. Based on our inquiry, we have concluded that Ms. Teruya's use of her city email was inappropriate because it was for a non-city purpose and was not related to her official city duties. So we'll be notifying Ms. Teruya's appointing authority of our investigation. Findings and disciplinary actions will be at their discretion. So for those of you that still sitting on the ledge and wondering and was confused about this grand release of the documents by Tuttle, she had already been warned. She had already been found in violations. And so that is why, if you recall, my comments were quite harsh, and they still stand, about the Ethics Commission. They're not serving you or me or anyone else that have any ownership in government here. Absolutely not. It's a cover-up. And then the other tidbit that I wanted to talk about was that there was, to speak to the ethics of the Ethics Commission, I mentioned Don Picaro, the former deputy city prosecutor. You see, he is Teruya's attorney. And in that, he was benefiting from Teruya's, and as I read you some of the emails, so why did Mr. Tuttle, how could he sit and talk with someone that was potentially to be considered for investigations and being part of this or recipient of Terulia's grand treatment of use of emails and soliciting for and campaigning for other people using her government email. So why didn't Mr. Tato speak to that in this report? So a great many things went unanswered, and I am still in pursuit of getting the truth and making sure that this all happens and something is done, because I can only tell you, if the city council and all of our city leaders could hear what you're asking, I think they're taking a great risk and taking you for granted, because what I'm hearing out there, and I mean, it's encouraging. You, the voter, you, the listener, you, the taxpayer, I'm hearing you, and I like what I'm hearing. You are tired, sick, and fed up, and I like that, and I think that you're on the right track, and I think the mindset and everything is conducive to voting smart. And so those of you that sit in office now and think it's going to be taken for granted, I don't believe it's going to happen if it's consistent with what people are speaking out there. And you know that I had Mr. Rod Tam on, former council member, and you know that he went to jail, served 2 days. And I'm constantly trying to explain and understand to myself how do they decide who they prosecute and who they do not prosecute. Now, as you see, Ms. Terulia has a mountain of issues and great many and comments how bad she was, but I was able to get a letter that Mr. Tam received from the Ethics Commission. And I'm just going to, this was to his attorney, but the commission stated that an expense could only be reimbursed if it was directly related to council member Tam's duties as a council member or council. These are some of the things, and I look at this and I think, okay, it's our money, and you're protecting, and but Terulia did. Her acts were just as egregious as to be described, using words from the Ethics Commission. But for each of the following expenses, this is what they're asking Mr. Tam. We're asking him, please state how the expenditure was related to a council issue and a council member. Your attendance at a retirement reception for Chief Boise Carrera at a cost of $50 on August 27, 2009. 24 bentos from Act Inc. at a cost of $132 on November 22nd, city employees installing Christmas lights. 45 sandwiches from City Cafe at a cost of $236 for city employees installing Christmas lights. Snack chips at Costco at cost of $28 from Costco on December 2009 for city employees installing Christmas lights. Your attendance at the retirement party of Ken Nakamatsu at a cost of $20 in January 2010. Your attendance at the retirement party for Gordon Lum at $28. Chinese food for Liliha Seafood Restaurant for $189. A dinner of an Empress Restaurant, and that was for City Lights, feeding the people that work on the City Lights. A dinner at the Empress Restaurant at a cost of $227 for delegates from Henan Province. Meals with Thomas Kabiko. Now, these were discretionary funds. Yet, they took Mr. Tam and took the actions. And you can see, I'm not going to categorize or try to describe this, how substantial or insignificant these charges were. But I'm wondering, why did Mr. Tato do the same thing for Patty Terulia? Why didn't he do the same thing for Andrew Jamila, who filed reports that were false and failed to disclose that he was receiving grants and had a financial conflict by getting grants from the city? Because Mufi Hanneman appointed him, you see, and Mufi Hanneman appointed Patty Terulia to this position one time. So, again, everything still hangs in the air, and I got to tell you, for those of you that want to engage and say that, well, I'm defending Rod Tam. No, I'm just using Rod Tam as a measure of to measure and compare, and that's how you can draw conclusions when you see the disparity and the vigor that is seen with Tato and others to prosecute individuals, but on the other hand, others can do massive amounts of violations and questionable ethic practices. And guess what? They get off and then appear in another office in the city looking for a job. So you figure it out, and when you do, please share me those thoughts, because I'm at a loss. I believe that something is terribly wrong, and I have a great bit of these documents, and later on I'm going to speak to them, and I'm trying to just compare. And at minimum, I want to leave you, the listener, with enough information so that when the final hour of when the New Year's is coming, and the next time an official releases a press release, you'll know right from the start not to trust anything it says, because and when they don't normally issue press releases, you see, and they don't notify the people that complain. So there's a lot to be asked for, and you know, I don't want to come across as paranoid and, you know, the conspiracy theorist that there's this grand effort to defraud the public. But I'll speak specifically to the issues as I find them, and that's where the problem lies. So anyway, that's the way it is here. Hopefully one day it all works out, or hopefully everybody get involved. Corporate counsel, former corporate counsel, then Hart member, now going to First Hawaiian Bank and Okinawa. When you see that, you have to ask yourself, how do these people, they all circle themselves with one another, and something's terribly wrong here. And you and I need to take an action, and at least monitor this behavior and hold them accountable. So, anyway, you know that a couple things. We occasionally talk about the natural resources here in the environment and what's going on out there and the agencies. And we see new faces, and we see Mr. Isla. He came in, William Isla. He came in, and he is a local man, local boy, going to do good. And then we have the National Marine Fisheries Service and all. And there's two things I want to talk about, and that is the protection of the marine mammals. You know that we have the monk seals and that are being killed, you know. I'd like to send out a plea, and I am going to put up a reward and here soon, asking for any information leading to the arrest. And I don't mean the prosecution, but just leading to the arrest, because something's wrong when fishermen or whomever it is, we say fishermen, it could be whomever, but give it a second thought. When you kill something and they're faced with extinction anyway, I don't know what you're going to accomplish, because you're going to rob everyone of something that's special. And if you go turn yourself in, or if you know anything about this, give me a call. I'll keep you confidential. I'll keep the information undercover, and I'll provide the information to the enforcement people. So give me a call at 782-6627. Any information on the Molokai, on Kauai, and if it is fishermen, I would say it is a terrible thing. I personally take it offensive, because I have spoken up for you, the fishermen. I've fought for you. I've done a great many things for you. And if you are fishermen and this is how you're behaving, then you've not only robbed us of the monk seal, you've robbed yourself of the support. And it's waning, and it's fading. And if it is, I ask that all of you out there, you have no right to take upon yourself, if you have issues with the government transplanting or increasing the population in the main Hawaiian Islands, then take it up legally. The Mock Seal was here before you swam ashore, believe it or not, or swam ashore, or had, whatever it is, however you got here, they were here, way before. And so it's a shame that you would do that. And I don't see the great fight that should be in the effort. I know that covert efforts won't be known until they make an arrest, but I don't hear, and I have some pretty good ears on inside, and I'm not hearing the desperate call and the excitement within these agencies. And there was a news story the other day that they have increased the fines of $5,000. To heck with that. First of all, under the Marine Mammal Act and under the Endangered Species Act, there are stiff penalties, and all you need to do, Mr. Isla and others, just go out and do the investigation. Allow your men to work and patrol at irregular hours. They can't continue to come in at 7 and leave at 4:30 or whatever it is in daylight hours. Buy them some headlights for the trucks so that they can find their way out there to the beach and possibly see people coming and going. But when the resources have to nurse themselves from people who have issues with them, then you are failing. Not the officers, you are failing. And this is something, you don't need to make a TV appearance to tell us about the increase of the fines and penalties when they are already present. This is what I've argued about many a times, that if you, the state agency, take federal monies, then earn it. And if you, as a state agency, Malamaka Aina, as your mantra is, and your purpose is to protect the resources, then protect it. We don't need to show and tell. We need to see someone go to jail. That's what we need to see, and we need to stop it. And just the other day, and just speaking to the how we're spending too much money in this conservation effort, believe it or not, for what we're getting back. We're getting absolutely nothing back, and I will attempt to give you a greater picture here in the next 20 minutes. But just the other day, I'm out there at Lanai Lookout near Honama Bay, and we spot a whale with a buoy attached. And clearly the whale was laboring and attempting, and you could see the ball would float on its surface, and it would spout, and the ball would float, and as the whale sounded, the ball would disappear. Now, we called, and I called, personally called, and attempted to get the hotline. The officer at the DLNR was absolutely fantastic. And this was Jason Radula. Absolutely, you can't get any better response, folks. But the breakdown is that nobody in Aquatics Division, nobody in the chairman's, I tried to contact that office, nobody in anywhere felt an urgency to respond. But they get monies for doing Marine Mammal Act from the federal government, which is kind of stupid anyway, because it's their job to protect the resources of the state of Hawaii. So they get paid and the general funds from the state legislators to protect our resources. Then they get extra money to protect our resources from the feds, specifically marine mammals. And they told me that, yes, we're going to send out a boat. And listen to this, how it unfolds. So I call the hotline, and I'm going to try and duplicate. You'll be shocked. And I'm going to try this, and let's just listen. I want you to hear it firsthand. I'm making a call to the hotline.
Good morning, Hotline Hawaii.
Hi, good morning. You're the hotline for the marine mammal incident?
Yes, marine mammal violations,
yeah.
And mock seal sightings.
Right. Where are you located?
Physically?
Yes, ma'am.
The National Hotline headquarters is in Seattle, Washington.
So you're in Seattle, Washington, and I'm in Hawaii. I have a radio show here, and I'm just trying to figure out to call for a complaint. In Hawaii, we have to call the 888 number in Washington.
A complaint for what exactly?
Or any marine mammal violation or entanglement.
Okay, well, this is actually the non-violation line. The violation line is different. I'd be happy to give you that number.
Okay, but for non-violations, this is the proper line, right? The appropriate line?
Right, entangled whales, injured whales, distressed. Among seals or whales, that kind of thing.
And you are in...
Or among seal sightings.
And you are in Washington State. And where specifically in Washington State?
Seattle, as I said.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much. What's the number for the other...
The violation line is 800...
Mm-hmm.
853...
Mm-hmm.
1964.
Okay, thank you. Hello.
My pleasure.
Now, that's impromptu, and I wish I could do it a little more professional, but the point that I'm trying to stress is that why on earth, if you think that they take our resources serious, let me remind you that if I see a monk seal tied to a rock, attached to a rope that he may have gotten entangled, or a net, that cargo net, I have to call, if I'm at Sandy Beach or if I'm at Kiana Point, standing there watching this, and it's going to take minutes for this animal to drown or what have you, I have to call, as you just heard, Seattle, Washington. They then call back here to alert the officials here that I'm calling from here to report it. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if that's getting our dollars worth, but nonetheless, it's not the dollar. It's the resources. There's no sense of urgency in the protection of our natural resources here, folks. So when we hear monk seals are dying, it's because we don't have coverage. We don't have officers out there after hours and what have you. And a lot of these violations may occur under the darkness, the cover of darkness. But, ironically, if there was a movie being filmed, you'd have DOCARE officers crawling around like cockroaches after a party. Where are you, Mr. Idle, with this? You were going to come in and change this thing, and we complained about Thielen, and you complained about the others, and now you're in, and we've seen no changes. We're seeing monk seals die, and you're telling us that the fines have been increased and the law was passed. The law's already in place. So when I have to call an 800 number, an 888 number, and get Seattle, and this is what I got for a call, I'm calling to report a whale. I'm watching it now as I speak to you. It is entangled with the rope and a buoy attached, and it's laboring and it's breathing and what have you as it comes up and down. So, she asked me, when did this occur? Now, remind you, they say hotline. Is it necessary if it's a hotline? Wouldn't you think that if I'm calling, that they should just know that it's an emergency because I'm calling the hotline? So, I call this in. The DOCARE reception and the officer there, Dula, was absolutely... I wish we had 100 more of him. And we'd get the job done. He attempts to contact, and he communicated with the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard was unable to do it, but just coincidentally, there was a Coast Guard vessel en route to... I guess to serve the vessel, the research vessel that had had a puka in its hull. I understand that. But then I'm told that DOCARE is putting together a boat and they're going to launch a boat. And this is at 12:45 or so, midday. No boat appears. And finally I'm told, I'm called by the Coast Guard, they can't do it because they have to go respond to that, and that's understood. But DOCARE's boat didn't show up. Then I get a call back saying, well, the reason the boat isn't coming is because NOAA can't assemble a team quick enough to go out there and see it before it get dark. So apparently, they all want to protect the resources, but they're afraid of the dark. DoCare doesn't go out at night. They're afraid of the dark. That's what it is. We buy them weapons. We buy them, or they don't have radio. Maybe that's why they don't go out, because they're afraid that if they got into a situation and needed some backup, they probably are smart enough not to go out there because the administrators won't buy them radios that work. But what it all translates into is that we're having entangled whales, and this is a time when you only get to have this activity for a few months. And you tell me you can't assemble and muster up a team in an instant, a response team, in the sanctuary, by the way, the National Marine Sanctuary. This whole process that we're talking about, the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, and all of that is a big shabai, folks. It's just for the elite. Only the scientists and those people, but when it comes down to right here, there's no protection. If it wasn't for the volunteers out there looking at the monk seals and monitoring and keeping the dogs and keeping the people and from disturbing them, we'd see a greater number of them dying. We go to Waimanawa in that area. We have nets that drown the pups. And yet, no excitement, no bills passed, no nothing. And so, with this, they're robbing us blind. We won't have any resources, and we won't have any money, because we're spending it on them. And when there is a fireworks show, they're crawling over one another, getting that extra pay, that special duty. They're working at night then, but when it comes to the resources and protecting the natural resources and the marine mammals and all of the other aquatic life and what have you, nothing is being done. Absolutely nothing. And I challenge anybody in administrators, from Governor Neil Abercrombie down to Mr. Isla. We thought that Laura Thielen was bad. Mm-mm. You know better. And we're seeing 4 and 5 monk seals dying, and it's leaking out because people, well, we don't want to get everybody excited. This is the original stuff. No, we need to get everybody excited, because at minimum, go look up the word extinction. Forget the human aspect of it. Go look up the word and incorporate that word into your thinking and your mentality. Extinction. Nothing to do with about fancy politics or your beliefs and what have you. Just think the word extinction. If there's only 1,100 of them and people are killing them, just think. So, I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that if I see them at the fireworks show and standing around movie sets, and then when people go to protest the palace, there's an army of them. So something's wrong here. Someone have the hat on backwards and too tight. Something's wrong. Good morning, caller. Any question or comment?
Yeah, Kyle Cox. I just made some comments now. I live in Emma Beach again. On the beach previously, and we used to have monk seals that come and sleep on the beach, but I called the DLNR hotline, 643-3567, and immediately got a live person answer, probably an agent. I said, what would happen if I reported that I saw a monk seal injured, say, on a beach here? He said, we would send out an officer immediately to investigate. According to you, we'd have to go through Seattle. But according to this guy on the hotline, he said they would send an officer out there immediately to investigate. And they would subsequently notify NOAA. So it seems like if you call DLNR regarding a violation, that they would send someone out to investigate. I just called just to check to see if anybody's working today.
Are they working?
Yeah, they answered the phone. They said, yeah.
And they
would... If you had an incident, say you saw an injured monk's seal, we'd send someone out immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard the for yourself.
Yeah, I did.
The phone.
My person, and the number is 613.
I got that, but I also called the 800 number, and understand this was yesterday or the day before, and when I called DLNR, that's the number they gave me for the
on
the whales.
I just called this number being a Sunday.
Yeah.
The live person answered. He said we would send, if this is a true case, we would send someone to the beach right away.
Right. Well, we were talking whales and monk seals, and remember, the whale had a buoy on him and a rope, and you called the 800 number for the whales.
Oh, why did you not call the DLNR, the local DLNR office?
Well, you're not listening, and you know, I'm always curious as to what side of the bed you woke up on in the morning. Listen, I told you I contacted the DLNR first, and they provided me the number. You got that?
Okay, I got a different answer when I called.
Well, I understand, and that speaks to the other thing. Today it's a different answer. I'm just sharing with you. I do appreciate what you're sharing. But, again, the reality is, even though they tell you this, you don't have a situation. But keep me posted. When you do see one, if and when, call and keep a time and then call back and share us the outcome.
Well, in the past, when just sleeping, we called because there was kids throwing rocks at a sleeping monk seal. This was quite a few years ago. They had somebody out there real quick, and they put yellow tape around there, and they tried to locate the kids that were throwing rocks at the monk seal.
Right. Well, and that's understood, but if you hear the story that I told, there is no room for what ifs and what happened. I gave you a real-life scenario and no hypotheticals.
Well, my scenario is a real-life.
Well, where is the injured
monk seal today?
Where is the injured monk seal? Did you have one, or you just called and inquired?
No, I just called in. I said, what would you do if I reported an injured monk seal on the beach?
Let me put in quotes.
We would send an officer. Why don't you give that number a call?
Let me put this in quote for you. The question you asked was, what would you do? Okay? And I can tell you anything. Okay? Understand that. But anyway, thank you for calling, and keep it up. And if you see them, call that number, whatever number you think is responding. And what was the number again?
The number is DLNR hotline 643-3567. And there was no... Someone answered immediately.
Yeah, that's their answering service. They have a hired answering service.
No, I talked to
Listen, Ed, you can't be right on every count. I've walked through this daily. That's an answering service, and they in turn call the Fish and Wildlife or Doe Care, okay?
Well, I talked to a live person.
I understand, and I'm not arguing that you did or didn't. I just tried to explain to you. But anyway, thank you for calling. All right? This is another problem I experience in this town. You give them food for thought, and they give you regurgitated bile. And it's like, I understand what he's attempting to say, but the reality is, in the instant that, in the situation that was unfolding there with me, with the whale and others, was that right then, a real life, I'm calling in to say that there is a whale with the buoy on it and the runaround that occurred, that I had to call a Seattle, because that is the number that the DLNR provided to me. They should have taken the information in immediately, because they're the ones who are going to contact the National Marine Fisheries Service. Good morning. Come in a question.
Yeah, Mr. Cox, thanks for taking my call. It's a comment. Regards, I listen to the show quite often. As a matter of fact, every Sunday, this is in regard to the last caller. I don't care what topic you're talking about. He always has something to say that's controversial, allegations that I've been able to substantiate what he's saying. It just seems like he gets off on calling your show and just, just making waves without, any knowledge of what he's talking about. He's talking about what happened 4 years ago when he called in, or just recently calling in and asking what if. Anyway, I commend you on being the type of professional person that you are, and you're able to to deal with that type of caller, because it was, if he was calling any other show, they would 86, and he wouldn't be calling there anymore. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just want to thank you for everything that you do in this community, and it's a shame that you have to put up with those type of people. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, well, thank you. But, you know, I welcome Ed's comments, and, you know, some people know of him. He's a man that loves to eat turtle steaks. So, but, again, it's okay. We won't. Everybody's welcome to call, and we'll just have to, if we're wrong, we're wrong. And if they're right, we hope that it gets out there and the word is. But the point, I hope people understand that the reality is that we don't have the response that we should be having.
I totally understand.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hello. You're welcome.
All right. Well, this situation is, it's a real one. And I understand, I don't know and can't understand the logic of when you tell someone about a scenario or a situation that you're trying to share, and they come back and throw in a hypothetical. They answer the phone. And we've already gone through that some years ago where I played back that number, the 643, and there's a lady there answering it, and she's a answering service, and they in turn calls, and the fishing, the dough care, what have you. But again, if you recall, this is a while back where they tell us someone's going to come out, and this is at 5:30 we call, and nobody's going to come out, because in order to come out, you got to call and get permission from the branch chief, and the branch chief gets something because they don't want to pay the overtime. But the point that I was trying to make and the emphasize is that we have 5 monk seal that have been killed. That's that we know of. And something needs to take place here, rethinking, rescheduling, deployment of the officers, and we should see a cadre of officers at nighttime and patrolling at unusual or irregular hours. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Hi, Carol.
Yes.
I think you've exposed the fact that there is no real quick response team standing by for anything like that particular situation that you observed.
Right.
And I appreciate you exposing it, because I think this is something that should be squarely put right in front of Mr. Isla.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, he knows better, and I wish I could say better things, but I just got to tell the listeners, the officers, nothing has changed. We're spending money to pay for a guy to work here on per diem and fly back to his home on Maui. And yet, we can't respond, can't muster up a boat before it gets dark after you got about 7 or 8 hours to respond. You follow?
Carol, you've been around long enough to see the response in Australia for their sea life and critters and things. My God, it's like once the word gets out, anybody within radio or earshot is just streaking.
Mm-hmm.
Streaking to the reported location to go out of their way to try and save. We've seen it more with the whales around Australia and by the way, New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Those people down there they don't like down there. Over there.
Yeah, over there.
Yeah. I had an Aussie girlfriend. She used to go nuts with whenever I'd say down there. So I still kind of, it's still hanging in my head somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But, and I personally, you know, I don't want to call to add to criticism, because it's better to come up with a solution. But I was thinking it over, and I just can't see a solution unless the powers that be aren't going to be more sensitive and be aware. And especially now with it being whale season, I mean, look at, they came right into Honolulu Harbor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They did, and unfortunately, it's just a bad state of affairs anyway, to be honest with you.
Okay.
All righty. Hey, thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. And you know, the DLNR, the Department of Land, and no response. That's their new title, because I'm sorry, folks. You got to know, I talked about it. They received money from the state, from the federal government for driving by, and if they saw Monk's Hill, if they saw people gathering around Monk's Hill, they noted down that was marine mammal work, and they get compensated for it in the form of a money in the grant, JEA or some other grant. I don't know the real title of it now, but it escapes me. But it's bad business. And just to give you another example, here's the situation out there at you heard about the fishing there at Waikiki area. They opened it up. Today, the Neil and I opened fisheries management area in Waikiki. This is an email. And next to the natatorium. According to city and county lifeguards in the area, unethical fishermen have been scouting days before area was even open and were fishing at early last night. They say it was a sickening slaughter, starting before sun up and nonstop, all day with hundreds of spear fishermen taking out large coolers full of fish, many undersized and illegal. Many of the fishermen went into the neighboring marine life conservation district and poached fish, which is always closed year-round. The enforcement division of DOCARE, game wardens, were a no-show all day. They report no officers on duty, and the 587-0077 hotline number, you see, this is the other thing. You can call 888 or 6453 or 587-0077. So you got to carry around a card to figure out what number to call. Shouldn't be that way. Hotline number all day was a recording. This is a sickening abuse of our natural resources, and the story needs to be investigated and the public informed. Why even protect fish in this area for a year only to be raped and pillaged without any oversight in a single day? DLNR failed again. These are not my words. These are the words of onlookers. And in one instance, they say, I don't have the facts, but I called around and talked to some of the lifeguards, and they did confirm that one of the officers that were there, they threw out that little effort, some close to a couple hundred pounds of fish were seized. So, again, I'm just trying to report to you, and you can take it as you wish, but just to report to you that there's something wrong here. But when there is a fireworks show, they're there. They're there to midnight. They're there later. When someone declares that they are the new queen or the new king at the castle, they're there. They've got hardware, software, plastic cuffs, new creased jeans, and cameras and people talking. But when it comes to the natural resources, nobody's talking. So there's something wrong with this picture, and I remember the chorus line, let me in and I'll change things. Let me do it, I'll do better, and I'll do... Well, things are getting worse. When people are there spearfishing in areas that are closed, and the lifeguards see it all, and as one lifeguard told me, the most painful thing in the world is to see the poaching and the violations occurring in these areas. And then when you call, nobody comes. This is not my words. These are the words of the lifeguards. And then the lifeguards are even threatened by some of the people if they intervene. So leave it to the citizens to protect ourselves. And as I say, I'm giving you an assessment. There's a gentleman out there, his name is DB, they call him. They could take a lesson from his playbook. He babysits the Monk's Hill, he and his organization. You can go to Monk's Hill Mania. This is for real, folks. There, people recognize the dangers and the hazards that are naturally out there from the ropes and what have you.
And then they also recognize the impact on people and the dogs that may attack or people that may harm or disturb the Monk Seal. It's the volunteer team. We're spending money hand over fist to train people, to educate them, to medicate them, to give them vacation. And then I got a call to Seattle. And then the response is, ultimately, this is what the government office says about this whale that was stranded. Well, we won't respond unless we get another report. So how many reports do we need before the government do what we thought it was doing anyway, because our legislators, both in the federal and the local, allocate money, approve money, equip the gentleman, and then you go and you drive around to some of the officers' homes and you see these big, fancy trucks with brand new mag wheels and heavy duty tires and no headlights, apparently, because they can't go out at night. So, Mr. Isla, and it's inexcusable what you're doing out there. You, at minimum, take the money that you're paying in Randy Alwell's temporary position now more than a year and paying him to fly back. You can take that money and pay at least one officer to respond to something. And people that are putting on fireworks, they should be responsible. The city police, Honolulu police, would be happy to take that, or private security guards. That could be a memorandum of agreement or what have you. But you're trying to, you got caught up into this process of letting people make extra money. And then you abandon their natural resources. So I don't know what the solution is, but I can smell something going on. Someone's not doing any thinking or applying. And so I, sad to say, I believe at the current trend and the pace we're traveling, we'll see more marine mammals impacted, more monk seals, because they're not addressing. There's no show, no. If you don't see officers out there, then the people get a message that it's no big deal. So anyway, thank all of you for listening, and I appreciate your time, and see you next week. And again, we're still working on the charter school stuff, and they're stalling and holding out, but don't fret. We'll be naming names, and I promise you, I'll be consistent. Take care.
Them that gets is something I can't see. You gotta have something before you can get something. How do you get your purse? It's still a mystery to me.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show. Heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show. Right here at KWAI Honolulu.